I'll tell you what, we're going to be in John 4, 5 through 24 this morning. Goes right along with what the song was sung this morning. You know, when I was in high school, one of the best classes that I liked was the FFA class. And we'd done so many things in that class, but, you know, we had the bacon, egg, and ham show. We'd raise stuff to take dinner to that in Charleston. We'd have the soil judgment contest. And as a matter of fact, I was an alternate on that whenever I was a junior in high school, and our team won the state, and we went to the Nationals in Kansas City. I think we placed out there, I believe. But that's been a long time ago. I know my kids think that's when I shot the last dinosaur sometimes. I'm never going to tell them this kind of stuff. But it actually was back in 1975. But anyway, one of the things that a teacher in my class by the name of Bob Beach, I loved him as a teacher. He could get stuff across to us. He taught us how to set up septic tanks. And he told me, he said, if you set up a septic tank right and maintain it right, that what comes out of the other end of that septic tank, you should be able to drink. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh yeah, right. I never have tried it. Never have studied to try it. But you know what? I was going to ask any of you, has any of you ever here ever tried it? I didn't think so. But he told us that. And I didn't quite believe that. But you know what? I want to ask you something this morning. The title of my sermon this morning is, Are You Drinking from the Faucet or Are You Drinking from the Drain? And I want to get into this, and I'll get into my sermon here in a little bit, but I'm going to read the scripture. And it's found, like I said, in John, the 4th chapter, beginning in the 5th verse. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come and see a man which told me all things whatever I did. Is this not the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the main, while he was disciples, prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come asking you, Father, to be with this service this morning, Lord. I pray that you would be with me this morning, Lord. And the Father, that, Lord, that this message would go out the way that you would have it, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would bless it, Lord, and that you'd use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Very familiar scripture, am I right? Very familiar scripture about the woman in the well, as we call it. But you know what? I want to ask you something this morning. We all thirst for something, do we not? Am I right in saying that? We long to feel loved. Do we not do that? We long to experience happiness and joy in our lives. We all long to. We desperately search for the meaning of life and for the significance of life. There are people out there, maybe you're here this morning, that are asking that question in your life this morning. We've all messed up. There's not one person that I can see in here this morning that has probably never messed up in their life at some time. Not a one of us. Do you know what? Do we wish that we said things that later we wish we could take them back? I'll tell you right, here's one. Do you wish that there's things that you've done in your life that maybe you could have taken back? I'm sure that there is. This can happen in all spheres of our life, can it not? We can do that. We make mistakes at work. We make mistakes here. We can hurt the people that we love the most. We can do that. You know what? And sometimes we even disappoint God with the way our actions are down here. Do we not? Do you agree with that this morning? I believe you would. You know what? We are in these human bodies, folks. And as long as we are here, we are apt to make mistakes. Nobody is perfect. We are just forgiven if you're a Christian here this morning. Very simple and very plain. Well, nobody's perfect. Philippians 3:12 tells us this. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What Paul was trying to tell us, folks, is, as you know what? There is human imperfection in every individual that is in this church this morning. Amen? Have you seen the commercial on television about the Geico commercial about Pinocchio being the inspirational speaker? Have you seen that one? And he stands up here, and I can stand up here and say, you know what? I see all kind of potential. You know Pinocchio is doing that? And he said, no, all at once his nose starts growing. That's why he wouldn't make a very inspirational speaker, right? You know, I'm not like it. I see all kind of potential in this church pouring through Jesus Christ. Amen? I see it. But you know what? All of us have human imperfection in us. All of us do. I think where we get ourselves into trouble, and why we come to the trouble is what we try to satisfy our thirst with whenever we long to make things right in our life down here. Right? You know what? There was an ad by Sprite out there here a few years ago. And what it talked about, it said the slogan was, image is everything. Thirst is nothing. It says, obey your thirst. Remember that? It was out, Sprite had it out here. What they were trying to tell us was, in their little way, was that a sugared up, fizzy, lemon-lime drink could satisfy what thirst you had in your life. Well, I don't know about you, but the only thing that can satisfy my thirst is a cool drink of water. It seems like pop only continues to make me thirstier and thirstier. I don't know about you, but that's the way it does with me. You see, I believe, though, in the spiritual sense, that's what people are doing today. They're trying just to obey their thirst, right? And whatever direction it takes them, however it does them. That's how they're trying to do it. They're trying to obey their thirst in that way. They drink up what everyone around them calls love. They try to do that. They propose that whatever their neighbors call happiness is what they're drinking up. They try to find meaning and significance in life as it's defined by Dr. Phil or by Oprah or by any other radio or television or show out there. That's where they try to find and try to drink all this stuff in and try to find it and try to find happiness in their life. Well, that's what the scripture reading today is so important, I feel, today. That's why I read it today. Jesus teaches us about thirst. And how we are supposed to satisfy that thirst and that longing in our lives. That's what he's trying to tell us. And he tells it through a real life experience. The woman at the well was looking for something. She was looking for something. Religion wasn't getting it for her. Why? Because she was not allowed to be part of the religion that was taking place at that time. She wasn't allowed to be part of it. And folks, I want to tell you something today. If you're here today looking for religion, religion is not going to help you satisfy the thirst in your life. It will not do it. I don't care how much religion, I don't care how much you go to church, I don't care how where you go to church at, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you have not drunk from the well that He has given you, you will never understand how to truly get your thirst satisfied. You're not going to do it because there's just no possible way. You know what? There's a song out there today that talks about all the religion has ever did was to put a rock around my neck. And you know what? And that's isn't that the truth? Religion, that's all it does. I need to feel a true love in my life. And that love only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. That's how it comes. You know what? Religion wasn't doing it for her. Amen? It just wasn't doing it. She had been through a slew of marriages, had decided that living with someone might be the answer. And yes, she was not only physically thirsty, but folks, she was spiritually thirsting for something different. You know what? She was thirsty for acceptance. She was thirsty for love. She was trying to find the meaning in life and happiness, and she was trying to find God in her life. I believe that's what this woman was trying to do. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus knew it. This meeting wasn't just by happenstance. I don't believe this meeting was by happenstance whatsoever. She was there for the reason. She was there for the purpose. And Jesus was there for a reason and a purpose also. Are you saying the same thing today? Are you here this morning? You're tired, and everything you've tried to satisfy everything in your life by drinking from so many different things, but yet you've never been truly satisfied of what's going on in your life this morning. You're not truly satisfied. And it seems like the more you drink of what this world has to offer, the thirstier you get. You know what? That's why. That's why. You're drinking from the wrong fountain. You're drinking from the drain. You're not drinking from the fountain. I'm telling you, Jesus knows also what's going on in your life this morning. You're sitting here today, and you're thinking, you're listening to this sermon this morning. Jesus knows just exactly where you are in your life. He knows what's going on. He knows your heart. Over in Acts 1:24, and they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men." He knows your heart. He knows where you're at this morning. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. You know what? There's no fooling Him. Don't even try. Don't even try. You know what? You know what would be better for you to do? It's just to say, "Lord, you know my heart, and I'm giving you everything right now. And right now, I want you to take everything in my life." Amen? John 7:37 and 38 tells us this. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" Whenever you get a hold of the right faucet, whenever you start drinking out of the right faucet and quit trying to drink out of all the drains that this world has to offer, I want to tell you something this morning. You'll be stuff flow out of you like you'll never believe in your life that Jesus Christ could ever do in your life. Amen? You know, have you ever been drinking out of a water hose or had a water hose held up to you and someone turned it on full blast and water just seemed like it comes out everywhere, right? That's the way God does whenever He, you know what? He puts His Spirit into us and that water starts flowing out. Jesus is offering an overflowing life, an abundant life for all those willing to obey and trust Him. If you're going to truly satisfy your thirst, you have to choose to drink from the faucet and not the drains of this world. Well, you may be saying, "Becker, I've been too bad." You may say that this morning. I don't know. You may say, "You don't know what I've done, preacher. I don't believe God could ever forgive me." Let's look at the scripture and what this woman went through here. You know what? There was a reason that she was going out at this time. It said she went out the sixth hour of the day, right? You know what? That's not the normal time for these people to go get their water. She was going by herself. Why? Because she was considered a town bad girl. That's why. That's exactly why she was going out that time of day. She wasn't going to go and be ridiculed. All the rest of them would go early in the morning before daylight, or they would go at sunrise or sunset to get their water. So why was she going at this time of day? Like I said, because she was considered the local bad girl, right? She'd been married five times, the scripture tells us that before. She'd been married five times, and the man that she was living with right now was not her husband. So what? So Jesus should just ignore her? Should just go on? That's not what this is about, amen? Jesus Christ came to save, the like was said this morning, those which are lost. He came to save, even Paul said, you know what? He comes to save sinners of whom I was chief. I want you to know something important. There isn't a one of us here this morning that deserves the love and salvation that Jesus Christ has given us. Amen? So before we start judging and putting people down, let's understand, none of us here deserve salvation. None of us. Praise God, I'm thankful, though, that He died on the cross for us one day. You see, this bad girl, in her mind, there was no turning back. There was no new start. There was no new beginning. She accepted her lot as an outcast. She had accepted that. You know what? She had learned to live without hope. She was learning, and it's tragic to admit it, but this woman is not alone in reaching that point of hopelessness. I believe there are people in this life we live in today, there are people that we know, that you know what? They're saying the same thing. You know what? I'm afraid to start over again. I'm afraid to hope again. I'm afraid to believe again. Because you know what? All it's ever brought me has been disappointment. All it's ever brought me has been heartache. And I believe this woman was feeling the same way. I know the scripture. I'm taking a little liberty with the scripture this morning on this. But I believe this is just exactly what she was going. You know what? Disappointment after disappointment can do that to people. Am I right? When you've gone through disappointment after disappointment in your life, and you tried, and you know what's happening? The devil has you believe you've been drinking from all these drains that the world has to offer. You've been drinking from all the stuff out here that the world has to offer. And you know what? Jesus Christ is sitting there waiting for you. He's at the well. He's telling you, come and drink of the true faucet. And you know what I'll do? He said, I will make you brand new again. Amen. He will do that. Praise God this morning. Listen. Don't let this world, don't let the devil have you continue to drink from these drains. You can choose to satisfy the thirst, doing whatever feels right at the time. You can do that. And this will temporarily give you satisfaction. We know this. Hebrews 11:25 tells us, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We've heard it said, there's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible tells us that. But you know what? Eventually, you're going to be thirsty again. It'll never satisfy, it never can, and it never will. You see, the things you thought would satisfy will only drain you. That's what they'll do. That is exactly what they'll do. You can continue to suck hard enough on those drains, and long enough on them drains, and you know what you're going to get out of them? What you're going to get out of them is a bunch of junk, amen? That's what you're going to get. Because you know what? That you'll get the best that the cesspool of life has to offer. You'll get that. I asked you earlier, would you rather drink out of a faucet or out of what comes out of the end of a septic tank? You know what? Sadly, there are people in a spiritual sense that want to keep drinking out what comes out the end of a septic tank. I know that sounds kind of crude, and that sounds kind of rude, but you know what? Praise God this morning, we don't have to live that way. We don't have to do it. You'll get the best of it. Well, I asked you at the beginning, would you rather? What is it then that Jesus is offering? If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Amen. Let him come unto me and drink. And he'll give you change. He'll give you water that'll change your life. He'll give you hope. He will give you meaning for your life. Now, I don't know where you're sitting back there today and you're thinking that you have no meaning in your life whatsoever. I don't know. God knows your heart this morning. He knows where you're at. I know this. I prayed this last night. I prayed this morning. God, I want this sermon to touch somebody's heart this morning. Whether it be on this thing right here, or whether it be in this church this morning, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I believe Jesus Christ is telling somebody here this morning, you feel worthless, you feel hopeless, you feel like there's no hope. I'm telling you, there is hope. There's hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ this morning. That hope is in turning it over to Him this morning. You know what? He provides so much satisfaction that you cannot comprehend it all. You cannot. You will not be able to grasp it all. You will not be able to take it all in. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You're sitting back here and you think, you know what? I don't think he could do anything for me. He can do above anything that you can think. Scripture tells me that, I believe it this morning. The reality is that for what I long for what you really thirst for, can only be found in a relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. All the drains that you try to drink of out here in the world, they can never give you the satisfaction continually in your life like God through His Son, Jesus Christ, can give you. It cannot be done. We long to be loved. You know that? How many in here long to be loved? I tell you what, there's not a one that couldn't say, I long to be loved. And God through His Son has offered us unconditional love. Unconditional love. Through His Son, He has done that. There's some people in here that might love me as long as I love them back. There's some people in here might love me as long as I do right. But you know what? God never said that. God said, you know what? I'll love you no matter what you've done. I love you no matter what you're going to do. And you know what? Because of my Son, Jesus Christ, you know what? You have the opportunity to have unconditional love in your life. We have that. Praise God. The Bible tells us we can have a new beginning. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Do you know what the Greek meaning for that is? He makes us a new creation. Did you understand that? You go back to Acts. It's the same word that is used when He created the heavens and the earth. Is what happens whenever He comes into your life. He makes you a new creature. He makes you a new creation. You know what? We aren't merely reformed or rehabilitated. Brothers and sisters, we are recreated. Amen. We're recreated. This is what Jesus offered the woman at the well. This is what He offered her. He offered her a new life. You know, He offered it to the hopeless woman. To this hopeless woman, He offered her a new life. He's waiting to recreate you today also. Do you understand that? Galatians 6:15, for in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The moment I got saved, I became a new creature. I looked the same. I told you this before, I looked the same. But everything changed from the inside. All the way that I thought, all the premise of what I was about changed. All of my hopes, all of my fears, everything that I had in my life, you know what? He took that, He made me new on the inside. And praise God, like Ryan said, when people seen me, I don't know what they seen, but there was something different because they knew it. They knew it. He's wanting to do that by spiritual renewal, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost in us. Praise God, you can become a new creation in Jesus Christ. Don't sit back here and think there's no hope for you. There's hope for you. There is. You know it's not easy to confront our past failures. You know that. In our disappointments and our pains, it's not easy for any of us in here today, if we are faced with our past disappointments and pains that we've had in the past, it's not easy for us to face them. I tell you what, it wouldn't be easy for any of us to do that. Listen, the fact is possible for us to get used to living in that way. You know that? We can get used to living in spiritual poverty. Do you believe that? I think we can. To live without hope, when you're in that state of mind, to hope again can be scary. Whenever you're that way, I'll just get disappointed again if I try to hope beyond what I'm thinking. If I try to get out of this rut I'm in, I'll just get disappointed again. If I try to change my life, I'll just get disappointed again. People say that. The world can have you drinking that Kool-Aid. I want you to understand that. I've seen people that are that way. I've seen them think that they think, I've been this way for years. I've been this way. There's no hope for me. The world, the devil has been believing and drinking that Kool-Aid. They've drunk it and drunk it. But praise God, I know that there can be hope for you this morning. Listen, when we drink from the fountain of life, we have a hope that anchors our soul. It tells us that in Hebrews 6:18 and 19. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Folks, I'll tell you something. When I got saved, that anchor that hope that Jesus Christ gave me has anchored my soul ever since then. It's something that I can hang on to. Well, we must also realize that sometimes, you know what? We to become stronger, we must face our past. We must do that. You know, to get where we want, where God's leading us, there are times we must face our past head on. Why is that? Well, see what the story of the woman as well. Jesus confronts her about her past. He confronts her. You know what? And every time he talks, that door is opened up a little bit further, and I believe that woman, she feels the pain of what has happened in her past as it goes on down there. You might be thinking, why did he do it? Because he wanted to get her to know that the way that she'd been trying to take care of it, what she had been drinking in the past wasn't working. And praise God, he was going to show her a new way. And he did. You know what? And it wasn't Jacob's well. It was him sitting there. He said, if you didn't know, it was him. The world has beat you down. The devil has you drinking from all these drains and these faucets out here in the world. And you're afraid to face your past. Remember, Jesus Christ is with you here this morning to help you face it. He's here. If you say, well, preacher, what am I going to do? You listen to me. If he's dealing with you about something in your past, and he's wanting you to get it out of there, I want to tell you something. Come to this altar this morning, and he will be here with you. He will come with you, and he will help you deal with it. You can face it head on. I believe you can face it head on. There's no doubt in my mind. Stop drinking from the drain, folks. Stop taking the drains and stop drinking from it, and drink from the fountain. Drink from the faucet. Drink the good stuff. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It doesn't cost you anything to get what Jesus Christ has for you this morning. Only will you get rid of all that guilt and shame, but you know the world is buying you with them, but you'll become an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen? And you think, well, I've been pretty bad. Well, listen to what he did with this woman in John 4:28-29. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? These are the same people she was trying to avoid. I want to tell you something. When I got saved, I didn't want to avoid anybody after that. You know what? I wanted them to know. I wanted them to see. Listen. Christ Jesus has made a change in my life. Look at what's happened to me. Not on my own. Not anything that any man's done for me. It took God. I love what Ryan said earlier. That guy said, well, you know what? Marriage will do that to you. Oh, no, it won't. No, it won't. Marriage can change you a little bit. But praise God, you know who changes you totally? That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. You know what? There's plenty of people that's been married. And you know what? And marriage has never really changed them to a certain degree. They've been the same old people they always were. But praise God, whenever Jesus Christ got a hold of me, there was a change. There was a change. Those same people, you know what? She was afraid to face. She was now telling them about Jesus. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. Nothing can bind you down. Amen? Nothing can hold you down. After all I've done, you really think that they'll listen to me? Yes, they will listen to you. Yes, they will. Yes, they will listen to you. Because why? Because they know you're not drinking from the same fountain they're drinking from. Amen? They're drinking from a different faucet. They may be drinking from some drain out here in the world, but you're drinking something different. And praise God, they will see that you're drinking from something different. They'll know it. There'll be no doubt in their mind. And praise God, what a witness. What a witness. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't act the way that I used to act. I don't say the things that I used to say. They know that there's a difference. You know what? I have seen the rottenest scoundrels ever become some of the best preachers, the best teachers, the best singers, the best plain old witnesses that you'd ever want to see in your life. Because why? Because they started drinking from the right fountain. Amen? They've done that. I love the story over in Luke. Luke 7:36-47. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. I'll tell you what, folks, all the arrogance sometimes. You know what? All the arrogance sometimes. Well, Jesus is about ready to set this situation straight. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Tell me, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Folks, some of those people who are the most ordinary scoundrels in the world, and you may consider yourself that way here this morning, I do not know. But if you do, I want you to know something. When Jesus Christ, you start drinking from the right fountain, I want you to know something. You know what? You want to praise Him more. You'll want to thank Him more because He has forgiven you more. Amen? That's the kind of God that we serve. That's what He's about. That's what it's about. Amen. When we start drinking from the right faucets, our lives are filled with deeper purpose. As ambassadors, we are entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Are we not? As an ambassador, that woman was entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, whenever she went back into that town, she was telling them, listen. She said, listen, this man told me everything I've done. And you know what? He told me that, you know what? I could drink from the waters of these living waters and pray God and you'd never thirst again. And I'll tell you what, I want to ask you something right now. I'm just about done. Where does this message find you today? Where does it find you at today? I want to ask you that. Just think about it. Pray about it within your heart right now. Where does it find you at today? What are you drinking from? What are you taking the most resources in your life from? Are you doing it from what all the world has out here to offer? I'm not saying everything out here in the world has to offer is bad. But what I'm telling you is, if you will truly want satisfaction in your life, go to the right faucet. Get a hold and get a hold. Stop drinking from all these drains out here and get to the true faucet. Get to the true well. Get to the true, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? We can do that, can we not? What are you drinking from? Let me ask you that this morning. What are you drinking from? If you're not drinking from the right source, as they come and get a song here this morning, come up here today and let's pray. You know, just don't walk up here, run up here this morning. Let Jesus Christ have it. Let him give you something to drink that you'll never thirst again. He'll do that because you know what? He promised us that He would do that.